by man, human being. When they go to worship a tree, they're looking for something. They just go and worship the river, worship the tree. Can you believe that? Worship the moon, the star. They are worshiping things. Some of the statues, they made them themselves. You see them making it, and then they put it somewhere there in the mountain. And every morning they go and start worshiping the same thing they made it themselves. You and I have been made by God. Amen. So he deserves our worship. He deserves our worship because we recognize him as our creator. I'm very excited to be here this afternoon or this evening. And thank you, Pastor Dodd and Bob, for giving me this opportunity to share with you my testimony and the word of God at the same time. My name is Chibangu Mukumbai. That's the Congo name. But to make it short for people who have got a problem to pronounce Chibangu Mukumbai, you can just call me Chims. So like chips, Chims. That's easier. Amen. So in that case, when we get to heaven, you say, oh, I know Brother Chims. Hallelujah. So I came here with three guys. Achille is a good friend of mine. He works with me. He's from Belgium. Jean-Pierre is also from Belgium. And Celestin is a Congolese, but is from USA, so Washington, D.C. So they are with me, and we're going all over the place. And they told me when we were coming down here that this is the only place in the whole America that you find a good food and good wives, good women. Two things, the whole America. And believe me, we had the taste of the food of this place. listen to this. When we were eating, Pastor Jacob said, okay, we've got two good things you can only find here, the food and the women. And he said, okay, as she was saying, oh, the food, oh, fine, I love the food. And then he said, okay, because you are already married, now we can only feed you. No, that's the word. That's how God has done the word. There are certain things you can only find them to a particular place. When you go there and then you find it. So I tested one of the best donors in the whole world today. So because of that, I will remember this place, Louisiana. Wherever I will go, I'll be talking about it. And that's also the way it happened in our spiritual life. You need to be at a specific place, at a specific time, where God has prepared his angel and his people so that you will be blessed. You will be connected. You will know God. You will be saved. You will be delivered. And you will be blessed. There is a place. There's a small leaflet called a place called there. All of us in our lives, there is a place called there. In that place, when you reach at that place, everything God has prepared for you will happen. Everybody God has prepared for you to be a blessing, or for the person to be a blessing for you, you will meet that person. So I don't know tonight, you were not expecting me, do you? How many were expecting me today? One, two, three, four. Oh, five. Good. What about the rest? You were not expecting me, but here am I. Why am I here? You don't know. God knows why I'm here. I was not expecting to see you because I don't know your faces, but God knew that today, at this time, I'll be speaking to you. And I always believe that anytime I stand before the people of God, God is going to speak to you. Because it's not my time to speak about myself. It's God's time to speak to you, his people, and to speak to myself. That's how I take it. I am a son of a pastor. My father is a pastor up to now, over 45 years. I grew up in the church from my childhood when I was 5. He was taking me to church. At 12 years old, I gave my life to Jesus up to now. How old do you think I am? Yeah, go up a bit. 45, go up a bit. I'm 46. You see? Wonderful. You see, so since my childhood up to now, I am enjoying the blessing of God, the joy of the salvation. Yes, I can testify about that. I am a real born again, and I know that it's worthwhile to live as a Christian in this planet Earth. God put in my heart since I was a child to become a general in the army, to serve my country, to defend my people. I don't know why, but my dad did not want me to become a general in the army. He said, no, you are the firstborn, because in my family, in my father's family, we are 10, 5 boys and 5 girls. Beautiful. So he wanted me to become a pastor like him. He said, you are the first seed. You are the firstborn, like in Israel. The firstborn we offer to God. I remember this woman in Cote d'Ivoire. One day he went to the church and the pastor said, you cannot walk in the church. You cannot come in the temple without bringing something empty-handed. You must bring something to God. It was the time of Ephraim. And he didn't have money. He didn't know what to do. The only thing the woman has is a little baby in her hands. So they saw this woman bringing the little child in the offering basket. He left the child there. He said, God, this is what I have. Serious. So I didn't want to listen to my dad. I said, no, I'm a Christian. Although I'm singing the choir, I'm in the youth, I'm doing everything in the church, but to become a pastor, Why? Because I saw how pastors suffered in Africa most of the time. And being a pastor, I said, man of God, is not easy. You got to know everything. You have to be a politician. You have to be economics. You need to know everything, because when the people have got a problem, they always come to a pastor. All kind of problems. When they are sick, when they have mortgage problem, when they have drug addict children, when they have a case in the justice or the court, they always come for prayer. So pastor must know everything. They bring it to the pastor. But not bring it to the pastor as a man, because he's the man of God. God has put him there so that all the problems they are bringing, so he should pray and God will work. And I've seen the mighty hands of God through my dad's ministry. And up to now, I believe that the same God is still working. I believe it. Therefore, I grew up, was the time I got my A-level. I said, okay, I'm going to university. My dad wanted me to go to the Bible school. I said, no, I'm not going to Bible school. I'm going to university. So he didn't have a choice. I went to university. I did 1 year in economics. So on that year, the student in Congo stood again, protest against the president, and he shut down the university for 1 year. I was crying. I said, why? I didn't know. I said, okay, I'll start again next year when they reopen the university. Then my father said, okay, I can send you to Cote d'Ivoire, because we have a friend over there. He has a friend. I went from Congo to Cote d'Ivoire. It's like Central Africa, in the right middle of Africa, to go to West Africa. So I went there to do sociology. That's the only place I got at university. Believe me, when I went there for the first time in the history of that country, I did only 3 months at university. The student arise, protest against the president, and the president shut the university. Who is the problem? Yes, it's me. Yes, I got to know that later on. I said, why? I cried. I said, Lord, what is happening? So one day, I decided, I said, Lord, now I want to go to Europe. Still pursuing my same vision of being, you know, somebody in life. Wrote a letter, two letters, one to university and one to Bible school. I said, took them, two of them like this. I prayed, I said, now I want you to show me exactly what you want me to do. I posted these two letters on the same day. They went. 2 weeks later, I received the answer from the university, the Bible school. They offered me a scholarship. They said, hey, we give you a place and we have a scholarship. You can come and study here in Switzerland. I said, okay, let me put it there with the answer of the university. I'm still waiting up to now. So the choice was now very, very clear. The direction was very clear that I have to go to Bible school. But my heart, you can understand, you know, my heart was not still there, but I can see that, okay, let me just go. So I went to Bible school, spent 3 years there. My last year, I was praying early in the morning, and I hear clearly God speaking to me. He said, son, I will open the door for you to go to an English country to learn English, and after 10 years, I will tell you what you're supposed to do. I hear it clearly. And I know in my life, when I hear the voice of God and when I hear my own voice or my own thinking, I know the difference. So when I finished the 3 years, I got the place to go to UK in England. That's where I've learned to speak English, because in the Congo we speak French. So if you get some words you don't understand, please bear with me, because this English is another language I went to learn. So I'm just giving you how God led me and why I am here today. So when I was in England, I added 1 year at university to get a degree in theology, which I have. And after that, I started doing business. But one thing God told me when I was finishing the Bible school, he said that when you go there, don't open a church, but you can serve under a ministry. I reached in London. People, anytime I go to, they invite me to preach. They say, no, come, you can open the church here. You can become a pastor here. The temptation was so much. Some of them offering me, oh, we'll pay the house. You'll be having a good salary and the car, everything. But anytime I got that opportunity, the Spirit of God will say, remember what God taught you. My father, he was happy when he heard that I went to Bible school. So when I finished, he was expecting me to open a church in England. So anytime he said, so when are you going to open the church? I said, God spoke to me, said I should not open a church. He said, oh, my son, after spending 3 years in Bible school, and God has spoken to you like that, I said, yes. My pastor, the local pastor, also said, no, son, we've got a facility. We can open a French-speaking service for you to be speaking. So everything is there. I said, no, Dad. God spoke to me not to open the church, you know, to just be under you. I was waiting for God's time and what he told me. Because he didn't tell me exactly what I'm going to do next. Then one day, Pastor Clady came to England. He's from Cincinnati. He came to Bradford. He was preaching the word of God there. And I was reading in the Christian magazine named Joy. It's the Assemblies of God Christian magazine in England. And I saw the advert. They have crusade, a seminar during the day, and in the evening, they have crusade. So I just felt in my heart that you need to attend this meeting. And on that evening, I was supposed to work because I was working at the post office. I called my boss. I said, please, can you excuse me? Find somebody else to take my place. I have to attend this meeting. He said, okay, we will do so. So I took my car and three friends of mine, we drove to Bradford. From London to Bradford is about 4 good hours driving. So we reached the place. It was packed. It was a big auditorium. Over 3,000 people in that place. So he was preaching the word of God. Because we came late, we were up there, sitting there. And he made an altar call for people who want prayer. And I came forward. So he was like here, and we were all of us there. A lot of people, they were praying, and he came with 100 intercessors from USA. And there were a couple, they were praying over me. I just heard that, bring me this boy, this black fellow there, bring him here. And I opened my eyes and said, Pastor Clay is calling you. I woke up myself. I said, I don't know what is going to happen. I came there, he looked at me. What's your name? I said, Chibangu Mukumbai. He said, what? Chibangu Mukumbai. He said, okay, fine. Show me your hands. I show him my hands. He said, what do you have? I said, nothing. And everybody was just watching the way you are. What do you have? I said, nothing. He said, my God, God has put something in your hands, but you can't see. He put his hands in his pocket. He pulled out $20. He put it in my hands. I said, what do you have? I said, $20. He took it back, put it in his pocket. He said, what do you have? I said, nothing. He said, my. You are blind. We can be Christian. We can have, for many years, seeking God, praying for something, looking for a direction. It takes one day. It takes one day. And it takes a servant of God who have got God's eyes to see what is in you. Because all of us here, God has invested in you something. You might not know it, but it's there. It's like Congo, where I come from. My country, for those who know Congo, is the most richest country in the whole world. Yes, in terms of natural and mineral resources, you name it, we have it. We used to say that in Congo. Natural resources in Congo, the whole entire world is in Congo, in the soil. And the people are working. But 90% of the people are poor. Why? Because what is underneath there, they don't know the value of it. And those who know the value of it, they take for themselves. So you have something in you that you don't know. You are so precious to God. He has invested himself in you the day you accepted Jesus in your heart. When you declare that, Lord Jesus, come and be my Savior, my Lord, and my King. He came as a King living in you. His word, his precious word, living in you. So the Almighty God, with all his riches, he's been living in you. Sometimes you don't know who you are. You remember the worshiper, they'll tell you, I know who I am. So he prayed over me. He said, God is going to use you for your country. He said a lot of things, and the power of God fell on me, and I fell on the floor. Since that day, so many things happened in my life. And the time came, God told me to stop what I was doing, to concentrate in politics, because he wanted me to be prepared to lead my nation. I said, God, I've not done university. That's the reason I wanted to go to do university. At least I'll have an economics knowledge, sociology and politics, everything. Now I went to Bible school. How can somebody who went to Bible school become a president or to lead a nation with the Bible? Thank you, brother. Amen. God bless you. Yes. Because this world, we know everything we have here is in the Bible. God is a great politician. Because he set king. How can somebody set king without being a politician? How can somebody set the king without knowing how the land or the country is supposed to be, supposed to run the country? So I prayed, and the Holy Spirit came and said to me, God said to me, my spirit will teach you everything.
That's what the Bible said. The Bible said, my spirit, the spirit I'm living with you, it will teach you everything. Now you tell me where the Bible said that my spirit will teach you everything. So except politics? No. It will teach you politics. It will teach you economy. Joseph, he was not an economist. He went and did marvelous things in Egypt. Saved the entire Egypt and the whole world with God's vision. God can make it happen through his Holy Spirit. So I open up myself and allow the Holy Spirit to communicate with me and give me the plan how to run a country. We used to have this expression with my friends anytime we were praying together. Let download from heaven. Amen. You know, the computer, when you have a document or everything, you can download the document. So we say, let download from heaven, because in heaven, there's abundance of ideas. And they are brand new. Amen. Brand new ideas. That's why you see, in this planet Earth, most of the inventors, those who fabricate things, they were Christians at that time. Because most of them, they didn't go to university. Most of them, check them, read about them. You will see, they were Christian. Why? Because they were downloading from heaven. They were downloading things from heaven, not for themselves, but to serve other people. That's why we've been called for. To receive from God, to be a blessing. So I told the Holy Spirit, please minister to me. Please show me how things need to be done. And I start writing the vision called Build and Promote the Land. And God said to me, your mission is to take care of the people and take care of the land. Everything started from there. I'm telling you, anything come from God is so precious and is so unique. God does not use a photocopy machine. Yeah. That's why I always say to churches that don't copy, because in that church I saw this, they were doing that. No. You are so unique. You are so precious to God. There are things that God has prepared only for you here. When you use it here, it's for your blessing here. Do not copy. We've got so many ministers today, they are just copying and say, oh, I saw that man of God when he prayed for you like this, and then people fall. When he does like this, so let me do it. There's no copy of anointing. I'm telling you, there's no copy of the anointing. Check Elijah and Eli. When he was going, he asked, oh, I want your anointing. But God gave him different from his master. Yeah. The same thing with our DNA. Everybody has got his own unique DNA. And we have the same spiritually. We have our own spiritual anointing DNA. In you and in me. Let's read the word of God. Can you give us 1 Samuel 3? Please. 1 Samuel. Okay, yeah. 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 1. One day I found it in the verse. I want two people to read, one sister and one brother. Take the mic and read it for us. When you're ready, just come here. Take the mic and read it for us, please. One brother and brother and sister. Please, read it. Chapter 3, verse 1, please.
The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions.
Yeah. I don't know which version it says the word of God was so precious. Check it there. I don't know what version is that. King James. Yeah, that's good, because I come from England. Put King James. Yeah, if now a male voice. Stand up, my brother.
Now the boy Samuel ministered to the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no widespread revelation.
Yeah, there's a version saying that the word of the Lord was precious. King James, yeah. I know you have president here, but you need King James, please. You have president in the United States of America, but I need King James. Yeah, so they will find it. Yeah, wonderful. Yeah, please, could you read it for us?
It says, "And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision."
Ah, two things. The word of the Lord was so precious in those days, and there were no vision. I just want to talk about these two things. The word of God was so precious. This is a young man, Samuel, one of the great prophets in Israel. When you go to Israel, for those who went there, they will tell you, there is not a single word of Samuel that God has spoken through him. He came without a fulfillment. All the words from Samuel came to pass. A man like you and I, Samuel. So he's a great prophet. But look, he was in his childhood, a young man, sleeping in the temple or in the church, ministering to before God, but he was ministering to a man of God. And the Bible said that in those days, the word of God was so precious. Please, can we say together, precious? The word of God, so precious in those days. You will see why the word of God is so precious. I used to ask myself a question when we say that. When God wants to do something in your life, suddenly you start having the attack from the devil. You say, oh, it looks like the devil knew what God wants to do. We normally say it. So do you want to tell me that the devil knows the mind of God? No. I didn't read this somewhere, but it's the Spirit of God who told me this. Because I was asking myself, why God, when he wants to do something in the life of in my life or in the life of someone, you see the attack and they will say, oh no, the devil is attacking. Let's pray. So it means that he knows God's plan. No, he doesn't. What the devil knows, God cannot do something without saying it first. Did you get it? God cannot do something without saying it. He have to say it first. He have to pronounce it. That's how he did. He make the whole world. Let the light be, and the light. That's how God operates. He has to send his word for first. He always say it first. When the devil or the serpent came to see Eve, what did he say? Did God really say it? He heard when God was speaking to Adam. He heard that word. God always speaks before things happen. That's the power of our God. That's why his word is powerful. His word is precious. And the devil knows that. It is we, children of God, today, we are not valuing the word of God. Even the one we are reading, even the rhema of God, when the word is preached, we don't have faith to believe the word of God. But it is precious. It is precious to God. He cannot do nothing without saying it. Because he knows that if I do things without saying it, how will you know that it is God? He has to say it first, knowing that whatever he says, it will come to pass. Then when it comes to pass, you say, this is God doing. That's how it works. Therefore, the word of God is so precious for we believers, for the church. When you are reading the word of God, or when you receive the word of God, when you receive a revelation from God, when you receive a prophecy from God, when your spirit can testify that this is from God, hold on to it. It will indeed come to pass. Because his word is him. In the beginning was God. No. In the beginning was the Word of God. It's so precious today. The church, we are losing power. We are looking for power. We are looking for all kind of manifestation in our church. But we are not seeking the Word of God. Because His Word is precious. That's what makes God, God. That's what makes the church, His Word. Samuel was in the temple serving Eliah. And they said that the Word of God was so precious on that time. So it means that anytime God will speak, you got to catch it. Because it's to come to pass. And one day God spoke to this young man. He called him. But because he did not know how God speak, all the time God would call him, Samuel, he would run to this man of God. Did you call me? He said, no. The second time, Samuel, I want to speak to you. He ran again to the man of God. Did you call me? He said, no, I'm not calling you. Then the man of God understood that God is calling this young man. How many places have you been going here and there, looking for your healing, deliverance, whatever direction, everywhere? You go here, here, but God is calling you, but you are not paying attention. It happened to me. I wanted to do it my own way, to be somebody on my own way, but God had His own plan. So he has to take God to speak through His Word to somebody. I did not know this great man of God clearly. And that word sink in my spirit. I catch it and I can testify today. I am walking and I can see what God is doing. Because it was not the word of man, it was the word of God. Samuel did not know. And Eliah told him, no. This time when you go to sleep, if you heard again that same voice, said, here I am, speak my Lord. We always need somebody to help us to understand sometimes God's way. That's why ministering to each other is key in the body of Christ. The time of ministry is key. The time of listening to the word of God is key. The time of worship is key in our lives. Samuel was there, and God spoke to him. From that day, that's what you, if you read, you continue to read the word, you will see who Samuel became in future. A great prophet in Israel, up to now. They respect Samuel's tomb. People go to pray there. You feel this, the prophetic anointing in that place. Because he's a man who knew to value the word of God. Because that word at that time, it was so precious. And he got that precious word of God that day. And that changed his life. Brethren, I don't want to say much. All I want to say here is that let's come back to that precious word of God. If we want to see again the revival in our life, in everything we do, in this land, the precious word of God has the power to make it happen. If we Christians become to value the word of God, if we trust that what God said, it is His word. We've seen today, even in the church, people are twisting the word of God, changing the Bible. They don't know by doing so, they are putting God aside because He is in His word. God has been speaking to you. God has been calling you. But you still want to do what is in your own mind, in your own direction. He is the one who made you. He knows exactly why He sent you in this planet Earth. You know, when you buy a car, we always have the book of the manufacturer is there. When you buy it from a dealer, there's a problem. You take it to a mechanic. He will try to fix it. If he cannot, he read the book. If he can't read the book, he will send you to the dealer where you got it, or they call it a specialist. Those, he said, I'm here only to do for Ford or Toyota. They tell you, go to the main dealer. You fix the problem. And if the main dealer cannot fix the problem, they say they'll go to the manufacturer. Amen. We've got the Holy Spirit, Jesus, and God the Father. Any problem we have in our lives, these three people in one can fix it. They are manufacturer, dealer, and mechanic. Yeah, that's how they work. They manufacture you, they know how to sell you out, and they know how to fix you, and they know how to fix me. So the Word of God has the power to fix you out, to help you, to promote you, to do everything we need in the Word of God. You know, when I was writing down the vision God gave me about Congo, the Holy Spirit said to me, just follow Genesis chapter 1, how God created the world. That's how the development came in this planet Earth. The first day God separated the light and the darkness. You can't do nothing without energy. Light, everywhere you go, wherever there's darkness, you can. Energy is key to everything we're doing today. Without energy, there's nothing. Light and darkness separated. You go over, you see that everything is in the book because it's a precious word of God. And I do believe that God has spoken to you. Hold on to that prophecy. Hold on to that word you heard from God. Hold on to that message which changed your life, all God has given you for many years. Believe in that word. It will indeed come to pass. The Bible said that he sent forth his word and the word healed. You need healing? There is healing in the word of God. May God richly bless you. You guys, I would love so much for you to pray for us. I know that this is from God. When people ask me, oh, now you're into politics, I say, it's my ministry. It's my vocation. That's how I take it. It's a ministry to me. God now is in the business of saving nations. Yeah. It's about the kingdom of God. When we talk about the kingdom, it's not only the small churches. We need to understand that God needs nation to rule nation. You know, Gideon, when they called him, they said, Gideon, come and rule over us. He said something I love so much. He said, no, me rule you, Israel. You people, I know how hard you to hear God, how difficult people you are. I want God himself to come and rule over you through me. And this is what God wants to do in our lives, in our nation. God wants to rule over America. We need to call God. It's not about man. We need to call God to rule over America. And then he will put a man who will do what he wants to do. The man will be just a figure. But God will rule over America. That's what we need. He did it in the past. He can do it again. He did it in the past. He can rule America again. So let God rule over America, so that the fear of God will be in the land. So all kind of things we are hearing, homosexuality, you will see when God himself is ruling in the land, you will see the difference. This is our prayer, because we know your country is so key in the world. Whatever happened here rapidly is spread all over the world. So if good things happen here, we all benefit from it. I am the product of the gospel preached by a missionary from America, Assemblies of God. We are all born from a man of God who came there, Lovick. We know when the revival start here, how fast it goes all over the world. And when bad things also happen here, and the same thing goes fast. That's why we Christians in America need to pray that God will rule again this land, so that whatever God will do here, we will spread it in the whole world for the kingdom of God. May God bless you.
A couple things. The vision that he had of what do you have in your hand? So often we just miss that, don't we? God, what do you have? Like, we don't see that there's anything, but inside of us is a dream that God has for an entire nation. It's not just Congo. It's here. And it is not a pipe dream to believe, number one, that this man can be the president of the Democratic Republic of Congo. That's not a pipe dream. That can be very much a reality, and it can transform an entire nation, a nation that's the second largest in Africa, that's got 70 million people, that is also one of the most violent countries on the face of the earth, where every day 1,100 women are raped, over 400,000 women annually. Not that our statistics here are much better. We just are very good at hiding things, aren't we? What do you see? God has a tremendous call on everybody here, all of us, and it is contingent on us seeking God and listening to Him. Lord, was that you? Was that you? Get around some people that can help you see that. Just as Pastor Cluddy Keith, who I know, who was an impact in my life, as he prayed over you and said, "You don't see it." When you got to the place where you're like, "I begin to see it," God can use you to change the world. He can do the same for all of us. Just as a nation doesn't realize the ground that they're walking on is worth tremendous amount. Let me see my phone. It's right here, babe. And even today, this is the number one story on USA Today on the app. A post 9/11 state of national emergency declared by President George W. Bush and renewed six times by President Obama forms the legal basis for much of the war on terror. Tuesday, President Obama informed Congress he was extending another Bush-era emergency for another year, saying widespread violence and atrocities in the Democratic Republic of Congo pose an unusual and extraordinary threat to the foreign policy of the United States. Do you know why he said that? Because guess what's underneath the very feet of some of the poorest people in the world? Guess what's underneath them? Some of the most richest natural resources, including uranium. But 90% of the population lives in abject poverty. But God will use him to shine the light, transform the land. He'll use us. He'll use you if you seek him. Stand up, Jim. Come, Pastor Bubba, come. We're going to pray for this man. I want you to stretch out your hands. And we're just going to pray. Let's all pray for this man of God, that God continues to use him. Father, we just pray right now. Lord, we just pray for your blessing and your favor on this man, that everywhere he goes, that you open up doors, that God, that you put people in his path that are a blessing to him. Father, we just commit today to pray for him and to pray for the Congo, that, Lord, that you move tremendously in that country, that you see the heart of darkness that was written about a century ago in the Congo become the place of light and a land that's transformed. And may you use this man to be your hands, to be your feet, to be a light. And God, I just pray your blessing over him. Lord, I just pray that you use him, that you just put divine relationships in his path. That, Father, that even in his time here in the United States, that you put businessmen in his path that have a passion to see a nation transformed and to help economically spur that to the place of transformation economically. But God, I just pray that you also put men of God in this man's path that help provide a prayer shield around him, around his team, and around his country. And may you bless him. And Father, we just surrender this man to you. Use him. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Y'all stand. Thank you, sir. Love you. It's pretty cool. I'll never forget the story. What's in your hand? Nothing. Yes. Yes, it's not nothing. You can not say nothing. I'm sorry, you can say something. Go ahead.
You know, as Pastor Todd prayed for him, one of the things, how many of you know that we, as our country, we're in a cultural shift. Come on. And the thing about when we're in a shift and the truth comes and there's pressure outside the world that tries to get us, you know, when a culture shift changes, they try to change a language, the laws, and I'm not going to go into all those things, but there's three things that we do as Christians. And as Jim was sharing, I just thought, you don't know how dangerous it is for him to be able to go back to his country and be the president. There are people who want to take him out before it happens. Okay? And then for us as Christians, and it made me think of where we are in the church today, is this. When you hear the truth, either you have three responses. First, you run. You go, oh, my God, let's move to Montana. Let's bring all the MREs that we didn't eat from Rita. Let's start. You can go, let's do rapture practice. I believe in the rapture, but I mean, we start all those things. Or we give in to the pressure. But I know this church, and I know your pastor, and I know what Shem, and I know what we are. When you see the battle, you don't run from it, you run to it. You see, I'm just asking you to pray for him. You don't know the degree of what's happening, because he's coming sharing his country. And I kept thinking, my God, we have, the world looks at us and look at what we're doing. And the church is like a chicken that's got its head wrung off. It's running, it doesn't know where it's going to go, and it's going to die sooner or later. And that's why, you know, I believe for us as a church that God is going to bring revival. I believe that. A revival of leadership. That's what we need. That's what the Congo needs. Darkness pervades because there's no leadership. And I believe this. As revival comes, there'll be great conviction. But I know this. Here's the good thing. But the joy of the Lord will be our strength. Amen? So pray for revival. Pray for the Congo. Pray for our country. And please pray for us tomorrow. There's some connections. There are some power broker people there. And I believe it can just open the lid to what we don't even know. You know what I'm saying? I mean, he's on a journey. He didn't know everything. He didn't know everybody's going to meet. He didn't know he was going to be at this church until, you know. And I'm just telling you, it's a God journey, just like you as an individual and just this church, what God has done here. We're so excited as a family of churches, what God is doing here in Lake Charles, Louisiana, and the best is yet to come.
Father, we thank you for this time this evening. And God, may you use us to be lights everywhere that we go. Father, we just pray that there's transformation that takes place first in our hearts, then in our homes, in our churches, knowing that it will come to our country and around the world. May you be glorified in us. May we be a light for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Love you guys. God bless you. Sunday's gonna rock. See you then. Have a great week.